Let's pretend like I remember to record and we're not already part of the way yet. All right.
Okay, so this will happen.
Is 11:15, which contains a change where options is now constructed from a string array instead of an environment, which is really good because we're not accidentally passing ambient authority to the options package.
And any sentence, folks, we're on here, we're going to have to remember to. We'll have to deal with that. All right, 11:19 is, man, this just 11:19 has not been able to get through a single CI run without something failing. Well, all the time.
Why? Damn thing.
I don't know.
Looks fine to me.
It's always having failures. It's always having failures in the process stuff, but it never looks like it's an actual process error. On the other hand, I'm just not seeing other ones fail all the time in this. So I'm going to come back through and...
It's probably the same bug.
Yeah, but that bug isn't showing up all the time when it runs in others, and it every single time with this one, it does. Like, there's constantly multiple errors in there, so I think it's more than just that other bug.
Marcus, can you look at this too, along with Theo, and
yeah, I was just see.
Yeah, because maybe this is actually helpful that this is exposing things, because the code for expect that Theodis has written looks right to me. I mean.
Yeah, I'm looking for a better example than my test case, and this is useful.
Okay.
This might be it, the one.
Excellent.
They are after. Okay, so I'm commenting. I commented on that, and we'll skip over that for now. We have... Benoit's limit recovery of tuples to val 11:24.
It's not ready yet.
It's not ready yet. Boom. Okay. There we go. I wasn't sure. That's why I wanted to bring it up. I didn't think it was, but I wasn't sure.
So this is something George was going to look at as well. And so... It's fine to make it just strict in terms of not allowing a tuple even in a complex type expression. Even if we don't give the permissivity of allowing it for val. So if one is easier than the other, that's fine. But Joe leads a comment that it says it has to be a subtype of val, and that's he's actually got that wrong. It's that it must be a super type of val.
You want to make that comment?
Yeah,
that would be good. While you're doing that, I'm gonna get something so I can blow my nose. I'll be back.
And he's right that won't cause a problem, even though neither of those recoveries is in any way useful, recover box or recover tag.
All right, I'm back. Did I miss anything?
Nope.
Okay. I just realized it's the end of August. This means I need to start taking allergy meds. It should be why my nose is driving me insane right now. So, okay, are we done with that one?
Flu shots are available, I think, now, too.
Yeah, I always say no to flu shots. Don't ask me to explain that because there's no logical reason. So are we on to the next one?
Yeah.
11:39, the poorly named implement RFC number 8. Because then you have to go look up what RFC number 8 is, or click on the thing where it says 11:37. Well, I suppose you could look at the files. And I know Theo's on here, so I'm giving him a hard time. It's a pony bench. he added a test for like one thing after the things there. I'm of the let's merge it, and I'm sure there will need to be changes and improvements.
I agree. Let's go for it.
Merge pull requests. Okay, let's see. I have to redo this comment here. Micro benchmarking tool. Honeybench. Okay. Confirm, squash merge. Boom, done. Thank you, CEO.
Yes, thank you.
Next up, we have a Benoit. It is 11:41. Correctly generate box compile intrinsics.
Oh, fantastic! I didn't know you put a PR up for this. Nice.
One which this is often the. I know the runtime. I don't know this stuff. So.
This is some pretty impressively tricky stuff inside the compiler. For generating multiple mangled versions of methods which are in fact compiler intrinsics. So we're generating multiple versions of some of these compile intrinsics. And this looks very good. I see, so find method takes the cap now. That makes sense. And we're wrapping up box function and platform methods. This looks lovely. Let's merge it.
You hit the button.
Okay.
It's like your area, so you should hit the button.
Okay. Excellent.
Boom. Okay. Next, we have 11:42. That's the number after 11:41. This is the LLVM 3.9 support. I thought this would be a good one to talk about.
Yeah. So, I'm a little bit worried by putting the load combine, disabling load combine again. On OS X, because since we're not using I1s anymore, which was the thing that was causing the load combine bug, well-known problem in LLVM, why the hell is that thing resurfacing? And that makes me nervous.
I have to admit, I don't know what you're referring to.
Okay, let me actually explain it, because it's worth explaining.
Where is it in the code? What is the bit that you're first
about? Complex. So what it is okay. Until a little while ago, I don't remember exactly when, sometime this summer, we were expressing Booleans in LLVM IR as I1, which seems very logical, since, in fact, I1 was designed to allow LLVM to express Booleans. Unfortunately, you can't express Booleans as I1s in LLVM IR when they are stored in a field in an object or a tuple or anything really, in any kind of LLVM structure. And the reason is that there's a pass in the optimizer called load combine. What load combine does is it says, oh, I see you have a collection of things that fit into some larger assembly language primitive that we can use to load a collection of fields simultaneously instead of examining them individually. This is a very serious speed up. It sounds minor, but it's a really big deal. It means that if you go and you read two booleans and a 32-bit integer out of an object, instead of being a collection of slow instructions, it's a single fast instruction.
Okay.
On an x64, for example. Sorry, I'm in Cambridge now. We happen to be getting some very impressive thunder. Hello, thunder. So in order to fix this, we express I1s as Booleans during normal code flow. So when you're doing things like testing conditions and things like that, we express Booleans as I1s. Sorry. However, when we store them in structures, classes, actors, tuples, anything, they're I8s. This is exactly what Rust and C++ and in Clang do. We're not alone in this. So I'm very concerned at there being a load combine bug with 3.9. It seems suspicious. Or rather, I am suspicious. It is suspect. On the other hand, these changes are good, right? There's nothing wrong with these changes. There's nothing that any of these changes are doing that look like they should be introducing a load combine bug.
Well, was the load combine bug there on earlier versions as well? Like, that seems to be what he was saying, right?
Well, what he's saying is that he's running into it. I'm looking at his PR, and I thought his PR was turning back on the disabling. My apologies. I'm a little bit flailing here. Because I'm going to actually go check some code here and make sure. Yeah, load combine is simply on. Yeah. So his changes are not actually putting that if def back in.
Right. That's why when you started talking about it, I wasn't entirely sure.
Pointing to it.
Yes, saying it's there. Okay. And my reading of it was that this existed in previous ones, but there's nothing, he's not changing anything related to that.
Okay. Sorry, I read that completely wrong.
I could be reading it wrong.
Yeah. However, Ben White is absolutely right that we should have Travis and Appfair 3.9 builds with this. Should we merge this and then add those as a separate PR?
Go ahead.
Ben White?
Did we lose him?
I don't know. I'm not sure in CI if I...
Right, fair enough.
I think the two most CIE people are you, Sylvan, and Kevin.
Okay. Well, then let's merge it and we'll turn them on after it's in there.
Okay. I'm going to say Sylvan's doing it.
All right. I'll leave a comment.
Turn your key, sir.
Let's see. The commit comment needs a bit of rewriting.
You're doing it. Okay. Oh, and you already left a comment.
And support for LMV 3.9. Load combine bug is still present, but this commit doesn't do anything to impact the current handling of that. Shouldn't have any. Okay. Boom. Done. Let's see how long before I have to remind Sylvan that he needs to do that. 11:44.
This is very, very, very nice change. So just to explain to people what's happening here is the heap to stack optimization pass says that if we can use the LVM domination graph to determine that the result of an allocation isn't captured, then we can put it on the stack instead of allocating it. That's a really big deal for performance. This goes a step further, and it forces the constructor for such things to be inlined, which is excellent. Also, I really like the change to return void instead of the receiver for constructors inside generated code. That doesn't change the way people work with constructors. It's just inside code gen. So this is great.
Benoit, can you fix the merge conflict on 11:44, and then we can merge it?
Yep.
Oh, it just showed up from a previous merge. Oops.
You know, it happens. Okay. Oh, we're on to issues. Blah, blah, blah. I can't claim any string data from... Really? Look, here's an issue that I opened. What the hell is it? What is this? I don't remember. Oh, my God. I opened a thing 21 days ago. I don't remember opening this.
Which number?
I think this one can be. This one can be closed now.
Which number? Number
1097.
Thank you.
It was incorrect null termination handling in one of the branches inside of from array, but that's been fixed.
Okay.
Sweet. No wonder I don't remember that one. It's like, what is that one? Unclear error message when reassigning tuple fields. Wow.
Number? Number.
1101.
That is indeed unclear. I'd call it an enhancement. It should definitely be fixed. That's a very unpleasant error message. Easy difficulty, I'm setting it up now. Enhancement.
Remove the needs.
Ready for work if someone wants to take it. Low priority is not critical or anything, but it would be nice to have that look good. Yeah. Oh. I mean, basically any nicer error message would do. Tatus, do you want to take it yourself and change the error message?
Yeah, sure. If it's still there when I get back to New Jersey, I'll take it.
Awesome.
Oh, you're from Jersey?
Yep.
Where in Jersey?
Northwest, near Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. All right.
Nice Jersey.
I got lost there.
There is such a thing as nice Jersey guy in Brooklyn.
I got sent out to do a job years and years ago when I went to people's houses and fixed computers, or I went to their businesses, to something out in Northwest Jersey where I took a train out there, and then I got off the train and the person came and picked me up and drove me like 35 minutes back to where their house was. And then they went off to go do something where they had to go into the city to do some work. And they at 5 o'clock at night, they still weren't back when they were supposed to be back at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So I walked into the town, which took me like 2 hours with when I finally got somebody to pick me up hitchhiking. And I got there and there were no more trains. This is what I always think of when I think of Northwest Jersey. Anyway,
that's a very sad story.
11:18. I didn't get back till like 1 in the morning. It sucked. 11:18.
Ah. Really?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying when I'm reading it. I slapped it. Apparently, it needs discussion on it at some point. Oh, there we go. If you go, there's a lot of good stuff towards the bottom. Wow, I don't remember any of this conversation that I had with him. This might be problematic. So this is definitely a bug. Do you have any idea? Oh.
What does recover this?
Why does this go kaboom inside trace unknown? Right after run, marked on. Wait. So this blows up when it goes to GC it. Because why? Is it because of the recover or because of the this?
Recover isn't necessary. Its server connection is an actor, and therefore it's a tag. So it doesn't. The recover is not necessary. Well, we're gonna needs investigation. Is absolutely right. This needs investigation.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's an interesting one.
Sure is.
All right. Okay, next. I assume that'll... Can you assign more than one? Yeah,
yes.
Okay. One of the two of us should be able to figure that out, so I'm putting us both on. Yeah. I spent enough time inside the freaking garbage collector now that I at least have a shot. I'm also going to put that as medium difficulty. That's
yeah.
You need to have spent some time inside there. Okay. 11:23, capability violation with tuple recovery.
Yep.
Yep. Oh, this was a known one. Yeah. How do we want to tag all of? This is needs the change with George's work, right?
Yes, it's I'm tagging it ready for work. Difficulty is.
Is it ready for work or is it blocked by doing the change?
I guess what changes?
Okay, ready for work. Never mind. Okay, I'll let you do the things. I'm going to shut up now.
Priority high. Right now, the people working on it. Benoit and George, although George, I can't assign George for some reason, so I'll just assign Benoit.
Oh, you have to be a committer in order to be assignable.
Okay.
And I always ask people before making them committers.
Which is pretty fair.
Yes. Next one is 1129, which is a Windows-related question, which always means that I have no idea. But Gordon is here, and he asked the question that the compiler only knows about VS 2013 and higher. And do we need to support older versions like this person had VS 2010? I have no idea how to answer that because I am completely ignorant on the Windows front. I figure if we say that it's VS 2013, is that actually specifically laid out in the tutorial or the README?
I'm not sure if it is. We should. It's possible we could work with 2010, but given that 2013 is free, there's... I think putting effort into working with it is not the best idea.
Okay, so let's see. That's in Windows. I don't even know where to put that. Windows. Here we go. Building on Windows. Blah blah blah. Recommends, etc. etc. Okay. I see where this would go. Okay, hold on. Let me.
Right now, the README says 2015, so.
Yeah. Wow.
Which is also free.
I just want to, where's the install on Windows? Okay, yeah. It's already, there's a note there. Alrighty. So, okay. Yeah. Comment. Close. Boom. Yay. That felt good. Audit to make seek and try less restrictive. That came from last time. I think we can skip that. Whoa, somebody opened a... Okay, this one's called missing new line. Oh, and Sylvan, you already responded on it.
Did I?
Yeah. 1133, everyone.
Yeah. So interestingly, since he's on OS X, that means that we are using the locked versions.
I'm catching up. So
which confuses me.
Sylvan, you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Everything cut out on my side. I wasn't sure if that was me or not.
Does he have an old version of Pony?
Oh.
Interesting.
Excellent question.
We didn't ask that.
We probably need to do a release on the release branch and talk to the homebrew people and get that updated.
Yeah, straight away.
Those are all wonderful words, and I have no idea how to do any of them. Sylvan, do you know how to do them?
No.
Great open source project maintainers we are.
All right, you guys. So there's actually a makefile target. If you look inside of, I can't remember the name of the file. There's a makefile target. And basically what you need to do is change what's in the version file, like bump that version. And then that makefile target or some equivalent commands you run will take your branch of master with the new version number and copy that over to the release branch. And that's really the, with the AppVeyor stuff and Travis stuff I have set up, that's really the important step. Push so something new.
It's going to work if we do that again. Because for a while that didn't work, but it's going to work again, is what you're saying?
We should look and try. I think it should now.
Awesome. I appoint you officially totally allowed to do that.
Okay, then. I will get to this probably supper time today, then.
Awesome. Maybe we should try initially one that has some silly name, like 0.3.0-test or something like that. And once we see that it's working, yeah, we can push an actual 0.3.0.
And if it works, can one of you who understood all of that write a short thing up that we can have in the repo so that anybody else would be able to do it in the future?
I will.
Awesome.
Fantastic. You know,
by the way, Kevin, because I haven't said it lately and this sort of thing has come up again, I love you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. 11:35. Oh, it's Theo with more errors, finding problems. Bad error message in with block.
Oh my lord. That's the worst error message.
I have to admit, I've never used a with block.
They're extremely useful for things that must be disposed of. But generally that means non-memory operating system resources, files being
the
main thing.
Cannot. Whoa, that's a, what does that error message even say, mean?
It's using a hygienic ID. That's how bad it is. Theodis, since you're looking at the other error message, would you be up for looking at this one?
Yeah, sure.
Awesome.
Oh, and another one. Man, he was just on a roll 6 days ago. Next is 11:36.
Okay.
And that is strange behavior of embedded field assigned in a tuple. So. Looks like Benoit knows what needs doing on it.
Yep. And he's totally right. Nice diagnosis. Nice catch, Theodis, and nice diagnosis, Benoit.
Want to slap the appropriate labels on that?
Yep. I'm going to call that medium. It's a small amount of work, but it requires specialized knowledge. Benoit, do you want to take this one? Since you know what needs to be done?
I take it.
Fantastic.
Okay, I'm skipping the built-in code completion one. There's not much to talk about with that right now. 11:46, segmentation fault when using, after using value of split string. But then it's not actually that, according to Chris. Oh my, there's a lot of conversation on this one.
Ooh.
Ooh, looks like Benoit knows what's going on.
Ooh. This is a tough one. Yep, He's absolutely right. Okay. Yeah.
So, what I'm wondering is, what did I get wrong? Because I thought when I was doing the mangling that it was going to account for this exact situation, and it definitely doesn't. Okay, so it's not in the mangling. That's why, because I'm silly. It's got nothing to do with the function, as has Benoit's later message completely points out. Okay. Oh, Benoit, I think it's either you or me on this one. Are you up for it?
I think I can.
Okay. Excellent. Drop me a line if anything in there drives you crazy, because it's definitely my fault, whatever it is. It's terrifying and wrong.
It's all Sylvan's fault.
This part especially.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. And then our last issue, 1156, the for loop sugar generates bad code. Which apparently was open 44 minutes ago. See, if we had an agenda, we never would have done this one.
Ah, so, and Joe's question is excellent, but I think, Benoit, as I understand it, it's the continue block is resulting in an LLVM generating a jump, and that jump is going to disable the optimization that we want.
I'm not exactly sure why it's not optimized, but if we remove the continue, then it's optimized nicely.
Okay. Okay. I suspect it's the fact that continue gives a branching form that it doesn't like. Huh. That's really good. Let's call this bug needs investigation. This is actually high priority because this is something really important for optimization. Rather than assign anyone, I think at this point, since it's needs investigation, anybody that has a chance to look into what we could replace it with and have it work, or possibly change the way gen while works so that continue does something different in gen while that doesn't cause a problem.
I think those would be good. I tried to change gen while to generate something more like Clang is doing, but it's not. I don't think it is the way we generate loops, because in the end, the optimizer would output the same code.
Ah, okay. Okay. In which case, it's something about the way that gen continue. Bless you very much. Because gen continue generates a branch to the continued target. And the continued target in the while loop throws it back into something that calls has next, but it's not the same core branch. Because it's on first entry, it does the init block. But on continue, it goes back to the init block instead of to the body. That's why why it's different. So what LVM is seeing is that we're jumping to a different precursor block, a different block that's going to enter the body of the while expression, and that's making it unable to optimize that expression. This is a fantastic find.
I'm not sure it's exactly the jump the jump to the init block, because okay. Because you end in a block that is still dominating the
body,
the graph for the loop.
Right.
So I'm okay. Not sure. It's
okay.
Really strange.
Okay. Well, we can both keep looking, and anyone else who has it, who feels like they want to have a look at this, please do.
And that's our last issue, which means that, wow, we covered issues going back over 3 weeks, by the way.
Fantastic.
So that's a thing. So we got 15 minutes scheduled. Does anybody have anything they would like to bring up or discuss or whatnot?
A funny question. What version would you like me to release?
I think at this point, 0.3.0. What does everybody else think?
Agreed. It's definitely not in the 0.2 family. There have been way too many breaking changes to say that that's in the same family as the other.
Yeah.
Agreed.
All right.
We've broken so many things.
Fixed so many things.
Sure. I'm going to put a slogan on the website that says "Make Pony Great Again."
Is the is the change log still mostly up to date?
The change log is in a better state than it was for previous releases, actually, because both Joe and Sean have paid attention to PRs and asked for change log entries.
Just so we can get it recorded again for posterity. This time in a recording, and Sylvan is really bad about keeping changelog entries, and there's a really big gap of about a month and a half to 2 months where Sylvan committed an awful lot of stuff with zero changelog entries, which, as he said that previous time, I'm sorry, I forgot it existed.
It's so true.
So there's a gap there, but otherwise, other than that, sure, yes. Since February or so, it's good, which is terrifying to think about how long it's been. It's been almost a year since the release. But it'll be great. We learn how to do this, and we can do them like monthly. And then people will stop going, "Is Pony dead?" It's been so long since they had a release. I'm not joking. I see that a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? I noticed Sylvan on a thing. Yes. Some people have noticed, but a number of new people showed up on Monday and Tuesday in the IRC.
Yeah,
I assume that would have something to do with the on the state of Pony being on the front page of Hacker News for most of the day, and Yeah, I guess that would be why some. And we even had a new troll show up. So it must have been successful.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well, you know, it happens. You know, this one was, I don't understand why I'd use Pony if Rust exists. And please explain why I would care about the actor model, which, you know.
There's no reason they necessarily should care about the actor model, to be fair. Wait,
so, and I'm not saying this just to slag on somebody who is either intentionally or unintentionally trolling, but I think it raises an interesting point when looking at for updating the website when that finally happens with new content.
Yes.
For a lot of those things like Pony is object oriented, you know, actor, blah 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 blah, etc. Like, what is the level of detail that we think we should go into on that? Like, are we making the assumption that people who show up at the Pony website know what the actor model is and understand, or should we have some material like really explaining how it's different than the average programming language they used to and why they should care?
I think that it used to be we would expect only people who were already familiar with the actor model, and that's just no longer the case. And now we should have much more material aimed at interested programmers who may be coming from a very different background than the programming language theory background that initially was the background that programmers interested in Pony came from. Now I think it's reasonable to say, hey, there could be programs with all kinds of various backgrounds, and that additional information would be really good to give them.
So that would jive with what I added to the I assume that because I usually don't PR things for the tutorial, that right. That people miss most things when I add them to the tutorial. But let me run through this thing which is in the that I added to the contributing on the tutorial, and tell me if you feel like this is good. And I can add it to stuff in relation to the website stuff as well. But I added a bit on let's see here. So under I added a on writing good documentation section, right? Blah blah blah. Third paragraph. And so it's basically what assumptions are we making? Is it writing good doc here? I'm gonna copy the link in, okay? Into the chat. And then I'll the chat here. And that's the contributing for the tutorial. If anybody's interested, I'll just highlight the little bit that I had, right? The target audience for this tutorial is anyone with a modicum of experience with another programming language. Isn't targeting at people who have no programming experience. Likewise, we don't assume that the reader has worked with statically typed language before. We don't assume a wealth of experience in the field. We strive to make this tutorial accessible to the programmer with 9 months of Python experience, as well as the polyglot programmer with 20 years of industry experience. It is acceptable to create content that targets a subset of the audience, for example, Java programmers, so long as the same content is addressed in a fashion that covers the general audience as well.
Okay. Sounds good.
I think that's fairly reasonable for the website as well. Yeah. Anybody else have any thoughts on that?
I think that sounds very reasonable.
All right, cool.
Cool. I don't have anything else if nobody else does.
Okay, awesome.
Awesome then. All right, I'm going to hit stop recording.